Welcome to our podcast. Here's Melissa,
Laura,
and Rob.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Welcome to this episode. We have a special guest.
Yes, we do. Hi, Peg.
Hi, Peg.
Hi, friends.
Hello. How are you?
We're doing wonderful. Thank you for joining us today.
As they would say back where I'm from, cacao you's doing.
Yes, it is.
Nice.
It is you's.
I like it.
Yes. It's a beautiful morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
So would you like to bless our cacao?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be honored. Okay. Mm. Let me take a moment to hold the cacao up to our hearts. Just connect with the cacao. Just want to thank Spirit for bringing us together in this space, for allowing us to share this beautiful medicine. Open up our hearts and our minds for the truth. Thank you very much.
Aho.
Gracias.
Oh.
Mm. Now for my favorite part of the podcast.
Drinking the cacao. And these beautiful roses. My goodness.
Ooh. Yummy. That's hot. Burn my mouth.
Wow.
Is there anything special in the cacao this time, Melissa?
I mean, it's my usual blend. There's so many special things.
Hey, I know. So for the past, like, you know, I guess 4 or 5 weeks or so, this stuff's made me feel great. I haven't had a stomach ache at all. Whatever was going on there at the beginning of the year, you know, my stomach was hurting afterwards. But the last few weeks, it's been delicious. Haven't had any problem.
Yeah.
Thank you for making your micro adjustments to my
his digestion.
My gut biome loves it.
Yeah, I don't know. It was lion's mane when you start complaining about it. So
then I
removed it. So I guess it was that.
Maybe it's
but that week you removed it, I still complained.
I know, but I know. So.
Maybe it was still in your system. Know. Maybe it takes like a little while to process out.
I don't know.
Speaking
of processing out,
that
comes to our topic of the topic du jour.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And that's why Peg's here with us, so we can discuss something that all of us have or should go through because it's a pretty integral part of our, you know, spiritual awakening. And that is
Dark Night of the Soul.
Dum dum dum.
Everyone fears it.
Yeah.
Why?
How do we embrace it?
Yeah.
That's the question. How do we embrace it?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I was talking with Beck, like, I think it was December, and I was like, that's a great topic for the podcast. And finally she's here.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad you're here with us to share this.
Yeah, thank you so much. When we were discussing Dark Night of the Soul, you know, I just feel like it's something that not a lot of people talk about. You know, and when we're going through it, it can be a very isolating experience and extremely overwhelming and scary. And, you know, I went through a very, very, very deep, profound Dark Night of the Soul recently. And now reaping all of the benefits, if you will, being through most of it on the other side. I'm not even really too sure, but it's certainly not the beginning or the middle anymore. I know that.
So did you know what it was before you had the experience, or were you just like, oh my God, what is happening to my life? And then you started looking things up and figured out that's what it is, or...
So I kind of feel like there's also different stages to a Dark Night of the Soul, and before you know, this deep experience that I had, I kind of thought that Dark Night of the Soul was part of your spiritual process that you reach when you get to a point where you're no longer aligned with your life and you're in a depressed state and you don't know what to do and you're overwhelmed with sadness and you just, it's always been described to me as kind of like a severe state of depression. And I had been through those parts in my development, my spiritual development. I feel like I've been on a spiritual path for about a decade now, actually. Yeah. A little over a decade. And, I've gone into those periods where I've experienced depression. I'm like, wow, you know what? This isn't it. I don't know what it is, but this isn't it for me. And it's produced or highlighted in me a job change mm-hmm. or a relationship change mm-hmm. or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, these little dark nights of the soul are very helpful, you know, mm-hmm. painful, depressing, sad. You know, you have to deal with the emotions, but it brings you to a better place. I feel like all of those smaller ones, if you will, led me to a place where... it almost became a familiar space once I realized I was in it again mm-hmm. on a much deeper level. Mm-hmm. Because the key is that you really kind of think you're losing your mind mm-hmm. in a dark night of the soul. Mm-hmm. So it's a very confusing space until you realize that it is a dark night of the soul and you're not mm-hmm. actually... you know, losing your mind. You're not actually supposed to kill yourself or whatever kind of things that go along with the, this life isn't for me. I have to change everything, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the reason I asked the question is because, you know, I'm curious for, you know, those of us who kind of understand the concept and know what it is and, you know, we start down that road, you know, it's a familiar path you've heard and know and understand a little bit to navigate, but for someone who has no idea what that is, or maybe this is a new concept, you know, it's got to be very, you know, disjointing for them to go through this process and not have the backdrop of, you know, any information about what it is to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you also would like to, like, expand more of what was your mental state and all that, because, like, for example, honestly, when the first... like, and I'm talking maybe more for non-native English speaker, because when I heard about that, it was really, really confusing also because it's called Night of the Soul. So I thought it was what night? So it's
like a right? medieval knight with a lance and a shield?
It was really a confusing concept just to hear Dark Night of the Soul.
Right.
Yeah, well, now I got that image in my mind of a knight on horseback wearing dark armor. You know, mm-hmm. and he's coming after your soul.
Yeah.
Which is very different from internally
what it is.
What I think in my mind of what it is.
Yeah, you know? And then I researched a little and I was like, oh, well, I experienced that for years, so et cetera, et cetera. But
yeah.
Sorry.
Well, one night. I mean, it's a process. What not just one night. No.
I know. I was like, what is this night not happening to me?
it's the reoccurring night. It's like Groundhog Day going over and over and over and over for like a year or so. It's like, it's most definitely, you make a good point. It is not just one night. It's definitely a process that starts with one night, but it can continue. And it's just this process that we all go through. So,
sorry, but as a non-English speaker, my mind went really far with this.
Nah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, about poor me sitting here thinking about you enjoying Dark Night after Dark Night. Those poor nights.
So, back to the question, how would you identify, like, what was your experience to identify and what was your, so that anyone who's maybe hearing and may have a similar experience can be able to relate to this?
If I had to draw kind of a little guide or map of things that were flags that can be indicators that you might be headed in this direction, some of the telltale signs are start with, just having a lack of love for something in your life, just that... and then finally moving into a space where you're like, this is not for me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then an inability to move on, seemingly through external circumstances, but we all know that it's really internal always. Mm-hmm. Everything is always internal. So if we try to, you know, fix these external things, we go right back to the same place in that conflicted spot, if you will. And I think that there, like I said, there could be different stages or whatever, but for me, it was kind of like I was in a conflicted spot for some time. And that matriculated as a result of me kind of going against my intuition at times, or just not really staying in alignment, just saying like, oh, well, I'll overlook that. That's okay, you know. But it wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. So those were the signs. And when you choose to ignore them, it was kind of, it brought me into that realm of, wow, this isn't for me, you know, and the depression set in.
Yeah.
And then specifically in this last deep, dark night of the soul that I had, when I was already in that state, I had a very tragic occurrence, deep trauma occur that put me even deeper into the state.
Gotcha.
And that's when I can describe the feelings as, you know, you're going deep into your shadow. So it's dark.
Yeah.
And it feels like everything is kind of closing in.
Yeah.
And in that shadow, it's going to reflect the things that you need to change or are unhealed. So those things seem like the reality that's closing in on you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize that's not the reality closing in on you. That's what needs to be let go of and shift and change. And that's, you know, that's what your soul is trying to speak to you through your brain and through these messages.
Yeah.
So, but there was absolutely no mistake about it, because once I hit into that trauma space and went into that deeper space of pain and suffering and all the unhealed places that needed attention, it was very, very dark. It was very dark. I felt very separated from other humans. Mm-hmm. I felt very separated from spirit. I felt very separated from just pretty much everything, even myself.
Yeah.
And as the time period went on, I knew I was in a dark night, because things would come up and I would be called to sit with them, work with them, release them, journal, you know, incorporate my integration activities. And when then that would happen, I would feel a little bit of relief, and then more things would come in.
Right.
And rather than getting frustrated or like, when is this going to end, which was a thought pattern in the beginning.
Sure.
I was like, oh, you know what? Okay, let's dig deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see you. Wow. Thank you.
So take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah. I'm already down here. I don't want to come back unnecessarily. So while we're down here, let's
just do this.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Wow,
I'm committed. I'm here.
Super smart, and so much awareness to be able to have that thought, you know, in the middle of the dark night.
But you make a good point. You made a good point. So you were saying, you know, at the beginning stages, you're feeling really disconnected, right? Mm-hmm. And then the only thing you really can feel is you. So really, it's that reconnection back to the deepest parts of you is the only connection you have in the dark night of the soul.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it is clearing the path of that connection, right?
Right.
And everything that stands in the way.
Yeah.
And in this particular, I mean, this last dark night of the soul that I had, which I'll probably have some more if I'm doing the path right.
You right.
know, like if this is the walk, right?
Exactly.
Or not be surprised if it happens again.
Right.
And, you know, this last one, so many grand, wonderful, amazing lessons and beautiful things. But the most profound lesson, to your point, Laura, was that I did not fully trust myself. And there was a lot of things that stood in the way of that, and a lot of things that I did and other people did, you know, the whole the stuff.
Yeah.
So really going down that, and me realizing, oh, I could never trust. I can't trust. Oh, wait. Can I trust myself? Boom.
Right.
And then it was almost like the dark, like a little light crept in, a crack in that dark night.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, click! And then light came in. I'm like, oh my gosh. Do I trust myself?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a new path.
Yeah.
It was almost like the path began out.
Yeah. Mm. The beginning of the path actually really started at that point.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
It was like it was blocked.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, like for me personally, when I had my dark night, it was like a shedding of layers almost. It was like a recognition of myself in different pieces, and then shedding each little piece.
Yeah.
And it took years. I mean, God, it took forever. But it was a really, really tough place to be in, you know, because you're actually witnessing yourself in a completely different lens. Mm-hmm. And then trying to figure out, all right, now what do I do with that? Like, how do I move past this piece of it and move towards that light, you know, mm-hmm. that you want to see, right? And it's a very profound experience for sure, you know. But like you said, I mean, it's definitely something that we doesn't have a time frame attached to it, because we all, you know, we'll do it in our own time frame that it works for us. And it's also not something that just happens and stops. It can be a reoccurring thing in our lives, mm-hmm. depending on what we need mm-hmm. to clear. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. So I think that's very important that you're here, and so that whoever goes through is able to start recognize it. So mm-hmm. as you said, like, yeah, first is this disconnection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then be able to work through it. You say, like, your way to integrate is to journal.
Mm-hmm.
What other tools do you use?
Oh, I've always been, once I found meditation, I've always been a big meditator. I love going to that space of just completely centering myself and kind of coming into my body. And it's interesting because whenever I would try to visit that space in meditation, in the dark night, it was so hard to get to because the thoughts were just very, very loud, like unusually
mm-hmm.
loud.
Mm-hmm.
So that was even kind of a sign that I was in it was a new experience of something that was a lot stronger, if you will, or mm-hmm. needed more attention, or, you know, because my regular practices, like, they weren't quite doing it, you know, they weren't, you know, and I was like, what's happening here? And then after I wasn't able to really diligently work on my practices, I was kind of falling into the dark night, you know, and falling into the emotions and the karma yeah. of everything that you know, goes through with that. So, and that's where I learned I need help. I need help. You know, when you get to that darkest point, you're like, wait, how do I feel better? You know, that I remember one day I got into my car and I had an overwhelming sense to drive into, over to this place where I always hike, at that time I would occasionally hike. And I got there and I just, in my body was just saying, go to the ravine. And I went there and it was quiet and I walked around the ravine and mm-hmm. I was in nature. And that day was, I just felt the connection between the trees and the sun and everything. And it was the first moment that I felt connection in my body to, you know, other things, being in that experience. I'm like, wait a second, okay, maybe I need to be doing, you know, hiking in nature more. Maybe this is a practice that is calling. So in the dark night, my old practices were kind of not, you know, really working, keeping me at bay, but not doing the trick. And it just got to a point where I needed more help, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I really started, you know, doing the hiking, and I picked up yoga, and remember we were just talking about that, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
It was about that time. That's when I really started to go into yoga and find relief in yoga.
Yeah.
And the practices developed on their own. It's kind of, I think it was just a part of the divine purpose of the dark night.
Yeah.
So, like, God said, we really want Peg to do yoga. Let's make her suffer.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite.
Yeah.
I think it's more like she's going to go through this spiritual awakening and we're going to give her the beauty of yoga to help assist her as she goes through.
Thank you for rephrasing. I appreciate that.
So that's really beautiful.
And I also think, like, correct me if I'm right, but you experienced all this process
mm-hmm.
after going to Ecuador, right?
Yes, yeah.
So after working with a shaman in Ecuador,
yes.
with the medicine, and I think that's an important message because definitely ayahuasca is a great medicine and supports our healing and growth, but it's also possible that after a journey or experience like that, mm-hmm. when we come back, it's possible that we'll pack experiences because there's more. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not that it didn't work. It's not that there was something wrong. It's that, I guess, your soul needs something more. And I pack. I mean, that's your experience. So, if you want to to expand on that.
Yeah. Excuse me. I think, yeah, to your point, working with my shaman in Ecuador, my intuitive guess is that that probably was a catalyst mm-hmm. for the dark night of soul that I experienced, because so many profound healings and lessons in that trip, during that trip. I mean, I am still integrating mm-hmm. some final things, and it's been 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a solid year of those 2 years in that dark night.
Yeah.
It may have been more like 18 months. I'm not really too sure.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe even longer. Maybe it started back before I even moved to Florida, you know, and I just wasn't aware because I had no practices really, or my practices were minimal. But yeah, so when you go to have these grand experiences, and I sought that shaman in Ecuador to heal some experiences that I've had in this life that I know are still driving the bus and preventing me from being my highest version, and I know that I want to be loved and want to be seen and recognized. So I went there for the primary purpose of all of those things, to heal myself, to work with him, to help him, or to have him help me, show me how to heal myself. And everything that, you know, every intention that I brought there has been fulfilled since I've left.
Wow.
Slowly over time.
Nice.
And without that dark night of the soul. So if you're going to, you know, everybody, look, I want to drink ayahuasca. I want to go to Peru and find a shaman, and you get out of the airport and you pick a shaman in the airport, and like, please don't do that. You know, like,
yeah,
that wasn't the case. You know, the shaman came highly recommended through a trusted friend at the time. So, everybody has a desire, and it can be easily caught up, by, I guess you could be caught up in the wrong hands. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You could be caught up with somebody that does not have the same intentions that you do, you know, and there are some dangers involved. But more importantly, like, say there's no dangers involved and it's just you going there or working with the shaman, working with the medicine, and a dark night of the soul is in your path afterwards. What about the support? What about the integration? Are you
right.
able to contact your shaman afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a community of people? Do you understand what integration is? Do you have integration practices? All of those things carried me and allowed me to stay on the path, survive that dark night of the soul, you know, really like,
mm-hmm.
and embody the teachings that were coming through. You don't really need that many tools, but you really just have to understand what tools will work for you.
Yeah. You know. That's the key, right?
Yeah.
Which tool is it? I think you got to try them all. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, so it's a game of just figure it out, and there's no path. What works for me isn't going to work for you or you or you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that's part of the whole darkness of the dark night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say almost like, you know, some people think of ayahuasca like a sort of shortcut to, I don't know, awakening and enlightenment. I would say it's more a fast track. So you probably, in your path, it was already this dark night of the soul for you. That was just like fast pace because of this connection with the medicine.
Okay. Yeah, I do believe that. I think that the work that I did with my shaman in Ecuador opened me up. And, you know, yeah, gave me the high speed train into the process, because it felt like the high speed train, you know, mm-hmm. and it still does sometimes, you know, but it can be a lot. But yeah.
Yeah. So what was your main lesson takeaway? So how was after the whole process, who was Peg? Before, who was back after?
Oh my gosh.
Mm. That's a hard one, right? Better take a sip of cacao on that one.
Yeah, that's like the existential question of who am I? You know.
Not sure.
You got it times two.
Yeah. You know, I can say that the girl before this experience of working with my shaman in South America and having the dark night of the soul. Yeah. Probably the girl was just this bright-eyed young woman that knows she's filled with God and wants to experience and follow that path deeply, but has absolutely no idea what she has to do along the way,
mm-hmm.
and how deep it's going to go or how grand it's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But I was ready, committed,
mm-hmm.
always, this whole time, pretty much my whole life, you know, since the spiritual experiences started happening, I'm like, but now today, you know, I would refer to myself as blossoming woman in her practices,
mm-hmm.
and on her path.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm developing a channel trade that's beautiful and special and a gift.
Yeah.
And exciting. You know, and there's so many hopeful things and wonderful things. And I can't help but reflect on those, you know, the last couple years of all those experiences. And in one shot, just say I would do it all over again in a heartbeat. Sign me up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like I'll start mm-hmm. that dark night of the soul again right now, mm-hmm. after this mm-hmm. podcast is over.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm just so full of love. I love myself so much today. I mean, I was at the Springs probably like a month ago by myself, and it was a new Springs I hadn't been to yet, and I love being outside, you know, and I was like in my zone. And I found this really cool spot, and I took a picture of myself and in the spot and, you know, just as a selfie. And when I looked at the picture, I kind of giggled and looked at myself and the picture and the surroundings and everything. And I loved it as much as I would love a picture of my friends.
Mm.
Real. Like, it, there was no separation.
Right.
Nice.
So that's how I knew. I'm like, whew. This is really working. Like that all of that, mm-hmm. you know, the beauty is finally shining through in
right.
little spaces. But I mean, my heart just explodes with joy on a regular. Mm. And I've been crying every day in gratitude for months now, you know, being in kind of like a more open stage outside of the dark night of the soul. But yeah.
I want to reiterate an important point you just made for people out there who are kind of experiencing something like this or going through it. She just said she would do it again and again and again. She would do it again. So if you're suffering at the moment, find your practice. There is light at the end of the tunnel, and it's beautiful. I'm looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, it's true, because these dark nights, they make us into this higher version of ourself that we could never even have imagined mm-hmm. at that moment, in the moment.
Yeah.
But then once you finally do get through it and you reflect back, you're like, oh, I would do it again because I love who I am in this new moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But it is a hard process to go through, no doubt. I mean, I'm not going to diminish that in any way, because I know what mine was like, you know what yours is like. I mean, we all know how difficult those moments are when you're going through it, but it is so worth it. So I don't know. What would you say as like advice for someone who is going through it in the moment?
You know, it's an internal job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it, you know? So all of the answers and the solutions that you're seeking are inside of you right now already. It's about the journey within to find it. So you already have them.
Mm-hmm.
They're here.
I like that.
Trust.
Stop listening to everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's terrible. Don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, find out what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, if you think about there's people we know on the spiritual path that live in tribes, in jungles. And, you know, how they are brought up is, you know, through their family systems and the tribe and understandings and everything like that. But so much of it, you know, where did it all start? Intuitively, right? Mm-hmm. And so much of it, no matter how much you learn from your elders and everything, your community, whatever, it goes back to you. Mm-hmm. You know, we are all so individual sovereign beings and have such beautiful gifts on this planet. Mm-hmm. All of them are necessary. All of them. So, you know, tapping into that, you know, may look a little bit different than something you're seeing with a mentor or with someone that you love deeply. Like, you know, my shaman, love him deeply. I may be doing something a little bit differently because when I go into that practice, my intuition says that. So trust that.
Yeah.
Know that. And in that dark night of the soul, I was able to build that relationship with myself. I trust my intuition over everything else now.
Yes.
It runs the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because I ignored it for a period and I felt like that got me in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So building that relationship was first priority.
Yeah.
You know, build that relationship with that connection, with that intuition. All it has to be is, oh, wait, you know, I think Mark's going to call me in a little bit. And then Mark calls and you're like, oh, yeah, that spot. Where did that come from?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not from up here, not from the head. It came from the gut, right? Mm-hmm. It came from
yeah.
the intuitive spot. So allowing that to grow, and it's a muscle. The only way to grow that is through honing in on it and accepting and saying, thank you, I see the bald eagle today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you for that message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting how that gut turns to intuition, turns into the higher self, which turns into spirit guides, which turns into God.
Yeah.
And this is all, I mean, that's what you are, so
yep.
The answers are in you.
That's the connection. So I love that, how this, you connect with yourself and find your own answers, your own tools, because mm-hmm. that's your own process. That's a process that's within. But what would you suggest if someone would need support? What support can someone find? And what did you look for some support?
You know, I really didn't look for support because I was so shattered and afraid and I didn't trust anyone. Mm-hmm. I think it is very helpful to receive support. I think what happened with me is that in my time of need, I had a group of very special angels in my life at that time that would see it and kind of pop in mm-hmm. and say, hey, why don't you come over for dinner tonight?
Yeah.
You know, and I would go over in shambles and be like, I'm moving back to New Jersey, you know, and they'd be like, okay, no, you're not. You know, like, oh, is that what's happening again? You know, like,
yeah.
So just having the touch of community and the truth in friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody to hold space for you, just for you to be able to click and be like, oh, you know what? Okay, I can make it through another day. You're right. I don't have to move back to New Jersey, you know, and just so find a friend, somebody that can hold space for you. Somebody that you intuitively want to hold space for you. You know,
yeah.
If you can reach out to someone. I couldn't reach out to anybody. I just couldn't. It was just too shattered. So if you're in that position where you're so shattered and you can't reach out to anybody and nobody's reaching out to you, I would say go into nature.
Yeah. 100%.
It's the grandest manifestation of God that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and get quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You'll find yourself that way for sure, you know.
I agree. And here's kind of a silly suggestion, but if you really feel like you need to talk to somebody, you just put on Facebook, really need to talk to somebody. Mm. People will come out of the woodwork. They will be there for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
That's and if they don't, go into nature.
Yeah.
We'll always go into nature, as far as I'm concerned. Like, that was my godsend. I had to go into nature. I didn't have a support system when I went through my dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was going through at the time anyway, but yeah. I had no one. And so for me, being out in nature was how I was able to process everything. I would just go outside, sit on the ground next to a tree, or hug a tree. Mm-hmm. Just I would be out in nature, and it was my way of processing. And it was almost as if, you know, they were my support system. You know, and it was, I would highly recommend nature for anyone who needs any kind of support ever.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you say that. You just reminded me. So when I was through the Dark Night of the Soul for the bulk of it, you know, I sat with the medicine. I sat with Mother Ayahuasca. My intention was to close up that chapter and move on and, you know, allow the medicine to show me anything that was left that I didn't see. And after the weekend and after I'd sat with the medicine, beautiful. I mean, I don't have to explain to you guys. It's always that and then some and icing on the cake and beautiful in the end. And it's hard work and all this integration. And I just had this very profound feeling that when I left there, what I wanted to do with my integration, leaving that ceremony space, leaving that medicine, was go back to all the nature spots that I'd been to in the last year during my dark night and thank them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a closing of the circle almost, right?
And I did, and I cried in every space. Chills right now, too, even talking about
it.
Oh,
that's so beautiful.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, some of them I still go back to, but some of them I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just beautiful, you know.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
I love it. Also, so I feel maybe in some cases also like a coach can support someone for a coach definitely. That knows how to help you to reconnect with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not a coach that tell you what to do. Like like someone that is able to. As you said, the answers are within.
Mm-hmm.
So having that person that can understand mm-hmm. and can help you finding those your own tools to reconnect with yourself may support you. What do you think?
I think that's actually a really good point. And thank you for bringing that up, Mel, because, you know, I spoke to you guys about I had a little team of angels around me that I couldn't ask for help and they would kind of swoop in at their moments. And two of the women that I was very close with during this time, they were like coaches for me
mm-hmm.
where and it's exactly right. They're not telling me what to do, but they would say things and be like, well, are you sure you want to do that? You know, and just kind of lead me like further into the process of self-discovery.
Yeah.
In a safe way and shifting my perspective enough that I can move into the self-discovery with a new perspective a little bit, you mm-hmm. know, to kind of like break out a wall I didn't quite see before, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that would be probably the most ideal thing. I mean, other than that, I was able to connect with my shaman and mm-hmm. he clearly supported me and was a mentor and, you know, probably did a lot of that too in his Taito way, you know, so having a coach would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
www.integrate.com.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Just in case anybody didn't remember.
There we go. That was perfect.
Oh, goodness.
Never miss an opportunity.
You really don't.
No. I actually...
thank you, Rob.
Yeah. I wanted to share something that I thought was really impactful for me. I'm reading the book right now, The Four Altars by Alonzo Del Rio. If anybody doesn't know who that is, Miskitaki, Gareth Morgan, that's his teacher, and they do dietas, and right now we're doing a book group where we're reading the book, and Alonzo describes the dark night of the soul almost analogous to the birthing process in that, you know, you are this little developing, growing being, and you have everything you need, and everything's great. And then at some point, you grow to the point where things start to become uncomfortable, and things aren't all that great anymore. And then literally in the birthing process, you get turned upside down, and nothing's the same anymore. And then you go through this traumatic experience of, you know, birthing out into this whole new existence, and now you got to figure it all out. Mm-hmm. And then it just made even more sense when you told me how important it was for contact. I mean, that's like the first thing a baby needs is contact. But, you know, that whole process, it just seemed pretty amazing to me that it's these little mini, you know, rebirthings we have over and over again in our lives, where we grow to a point where we've outlived mm-hmm. our kind of existence or usefulness or our mm-hmm. space, and we need to continue growing. So now we have to get to the next step, and that can be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It can be a, you know, a traumatic process for some people. So, you know, if any of you are interested in that book, I would go pick it up. It's The Four Altars. It's fantastic.
That mm-hmm. image just gave me a series of images. Like, once, like, you know, when you grow, like, you're comfortable in your clothes, and then your clothes mm-hmm. don't fit you anymore, mm-hmm. right? When you were saying about that, it's like, oh, I'm growing. They don't fit anymore. What's happening? You need to get rid of those. Like, we often talk about shedding the skin also. Mm-hmm. I think that's another nice metaphor or analogy that we can use. And also there's this book, The Holy Fire, and that explains again, like, the cycles, how, like, where we grow, it's not linear, mm-hmm. it's a spiral. So in this spiral, we go in these birth cycles. And so it just looks, sometimes we go back to the same spot, there is this dark night, but mm-hmm. we're just like growing in spiral. Mm-hmm. And that also another thing that so your explanation just gave me so many images.
It's
Rob,
not
thank
mine,
you.
It's Alonzo's. It's a great book.
And then it reminded me of the Wheel of Life, that there's many images mm-hmm. in the Middle Age, and how they were showing how you are in a great place, and then mm-hmm. slowly you go in this dark night. Mm-hmm. To come back to get something new, right, growing, and go back to this gray space, and you keep going through this wheel of life. That's how. And also, like, you can see in the seasons, mm-hmm. right? The mm-hmm. winter, spring, summer, mm-hmm. so on. But the more, like, as Beck was saying, the more, like, you have your tools, then you can move, like, quicker, you mm-hmm. can move and more intentionally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how is your experience now, Beck, that you went through a first time that was like pretty intense, mm-hmm. and you have your tools, how your experience now when you go through the cycles?
So I'm actually experiencing an ego death right now.
Mm-hmm. it looks rather pleasant. You're really happy and smiley.
It's definitely spirit keeping me this clean and not crying for this amount of time, you know? Because I've been crying for 3 days straight and still going to work and still showing up on the mat and everything, you know, and like not cowering. And with this experience, with that grand experience, I'm moving through this very well. Mm. These used to take me down. And I would just go deep, and which I thought was with introspection, but it would tend to go into isolation. Mm. And it was just, but now I can recognize the feelings inside of my body correlating to the thoughts in my head, and also behaviors. You know, and I can be present with the little flags, because they mm-hmm. do start out little. And with that, all I have to do is take a deep breath as soon as I see those flags. Ah, so. Like, just breathe it out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Unattach. It's what I picked that up from Ram Dass. I'm a big fan of Ram Dass. Mm-hmm. He says that in a breath. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you experience and see everything. Mm-hmm. When you see beautiful things, when you see tragic things, when you see nothing at all, you know. So being able to reach that point and presence in the moment now is a gift, because that allows me to be in the flow. Yeah. Every day I have a choice now to be in the flow. You know, I could not. I could just be like, I'm not going to do that. Forget yoga. I'm just going to go to work and feel my cranky body and eat terrible food. Maybe I'll pick up some fried chicken on the way in, you know, and just throw all the rules out the window and everything. And I would immediately suffer.
Yeah.
You know, immediately right? suffer, especially with the fried chicken, you know. So, yeah, being able to know what's for me and have a better sense of knowing what's for me, what's definitely not for me.
Right? Yeah.
And being in touch with that ever-changing process on a daily or weekly basis sometimes. Yeah, it's so much easier to move through these difficult times now. I can show up for the flow. I can get quiet, listen, enact my practices when I need to, or not.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe try something new and just pause and sit in my meditation chair until I'm incited to do something new.
Right.
You know, sometimes it really takes a lot of like quiet time for me to be in the flow.
Mm-hmm.
But I am.
You've leveled up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. I mean, it's like when you think about, you know, how you're processing and everything, and you're still going through the same process. It's just that it's almost gentler, if you will, because you have these tools and you have this knowledge and this understanding of yourself, and it's, you know, it's not quite as difficult as it once was, even though the process is basically the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and don't forget, the feelings are all still the same. They're just different depths. You know, we're humans. We do have a vast range of emotions, but I've tapped into a lot of them in a lot of different depths. So, you know, it's only going to get so bad, you know, like it's really not going to get to where your fears are taking you, you know, so it can really get so bad, you know, but. Yeah.
And it gets better like that because you have developed a practice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it takes practice to do this.
Yeah.
You have to build that awareness.
Yeah.
And once you build that awareness, you get those tools and it's work.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you practice, you become better at it so that the next night isn't as dark.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I would say like the ego deaths before this dark night of the soul were just a lot deeper, you know, without the practice, or maybe it would take me a couple of days in an ego death to realize, oh my gosh, I can go move this energy. This will help, you know, this practice will help me. I'm going to go sage myself. Then I'm going to go to the lake and the list of things that I can do. Now, since the dark night of the soul, it's like somewhere in that dark night of the soul, it became an absolute must that I spend time in nature, an absolute must that I do yoga, an absolute must that I sing and dance, you know, in my apartment by myself, you know, like there's certain things that became absolutely necessary, a part of me in that embodiment process.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, sorry, I'm just checking the birds out the window.
Yeah. We get a lot of hawks and there's a lot of birds. You'll probably even see, you can see eagles like flying by. They're all out there. Vultures.
There's an alligator out there too.
Oh, there is.
It's a little baby alligator.
Yeah. So it's like, in short, recognizing the first signs, the flags, and then you have your tools that you've developed, and also like the knowing that it's something you're going through, something to release something else to.
Yeah, exactly.
To get to a higher place.
Yeah, exactly. That last part is really important because if you do have that knowing, and that's why I say community or the coach would be ideal, but, you know, a friend of some sort, just because they'll keep you in that space. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll remind you, don't forget, this is what we're doing here, and this is why we came, you know, this is why we're here. So
you said something a minute ago that we just kind of skipped over, but I think it might be important for some people listening. You said you had to go move energy.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, for people who don't really know or kind of understand what that concept is, can you share how you choose to do that? Is that part of your singing and dancing?
Yeah. It's everything. Every day, it's life.
Mm-hmm.
It is life. Sometimes I just feel like a walking alchemizer, you know, like I'm absorbing and I have to release it whatever is actually happening. But yeah, the energy release. So if you find practices of, you know, that you are aligned with profoundly, you'll actually experience physical, mental, emotional relief when you do these energy practices in the moment.
Yeah.
We were just talking earlier about me doing yoga. And remember I said, sometimes I'll get to a place where I'll, you know, I'll crack or whatever, you know, get the stretch that I want. And tears will just come rushing out, you know. Yep. And it's not something that I wasn't having unpleasant thoughts or anything. It was just literally I'm releasing trauma.
Exactly.
And that's energy that's stored in my body that I'm releasing. So yoga, singing, dancing is a big one. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to do some like Thai body stretch on the ground and when I'm on my yoga mat. A lot of intuitive stretch and, I mean, smoke cleanses. I mean, there's a lot of ways, you know, amble smoke cleanses. Mm-hmm. There's some medicines that we use to move energy. I cleanse myself every day, pretty much in the morning, at night when I get home from work. I do a cleanse when I get in my car, when I leave for work, because I'm around people at my job.
Yeah.
A lot of people that, you know, go into their frequency zones of hangry and the bad energy of all that. Like, where's my food? So, you know, I probably picked that up all day. So I get into my car and I stage myself. And I just have little practices, and then I have bigger energy moving practices, because it's essential for me to be on this path of, you know, my Taita always says, peg stay in your heart and walk gently on the earth. So in order for me to do that, you know, I have to stay in these practices. You know, I have to be able to, if I'm not moving that energy that I am, that I can feel, and that's kind of keeping me stuck, whether I pick it up from somebody else or whether it's my own, it doesn't matter. But if I'm feeling that, it's going to affect my thoughts and my decisions.
Absolutely.
And my clarity in thinking, for sure. You know, when your heart is blocked, that will eventually affect the clarity in thinking, for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, and we do have those medicines to relieve those in those moments. So.
That's a good point, because grounding is literally the act of putting a wire onto an electrical circuit so you can move the energy out from the danger zone. So grounding yourself is moving energy. And I do a lot of amble. That seems to really work for me. I take walks as well. I know Laura will go outside and hug trees.
And, anything outside.
Melissa's grass. Always doing yoga. So there's a thousand different ways to do it.
I love walking barefoot on the earth. That's my favorite way to ground.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
And we're almost finished our cacao.
Yeah.
Which means Sally. We're almost done with our podcast. But I would like to add one last thing, because Beck makes this beautiful. I didn't even have enough
her smudging like, fans and all this other stuff.
Speaking of grounding,
thing
right?
She does with feathers. So if you want to just add the little things about that.
Oh, in fact, I'll put a picture of the fan as well that you just made for us, because we used it in ceremony this past weekend.
Beautiful.
And it was amazing. It was so beautiful. Everyone loved it. They just everyone connected with it. Happy. It was thank you so much.
So beautiful.
You're with us.
It's very grounding.
Yeah.
Just that handle with that crystal in it.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good. I'm so happy that it was useful and you guys connected with it. Yeah. That's so what a great way to end, because actually, the work that I do with my smudge fans and the feathers is a direct result of my integration practices.
Mm-hmm.
And I really learned deeply and on a whole nother level of what the animal medicines mean when I was in that dark night and I trusted not a human being on this planet, not even myself at the time. But I would be unpacking things, and on my nature walks, unpacking my thoughts, and I would come to a conclusion, and then I would see a hawk, and I would feel it in here. I'd see it with my eyes, but I'd feel it in my chest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a result of this difficult time that I threw myself into these integration practices, I deeply connected to the animal medicines and my practice, you know, and all of the expansion that went along with that, all of the education and meeting the people and finding the tools. And oh my gosh, the work itself is just an absolutely beautiful process. And all of it requires me to be in nature, because everything that I make is sustainable, which means I find it. It's a gift from the earth.
Right.
You know, it's no so animals were harmed, you know, like that's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a part of my spiritual process. So not only are you receiving the animal medicine or the bird medicine that is in the smudge, but not only when I pick up the feather, but sometimes when I'm creating the smudges too, I'm in a deep process. Like you know, Laura, I mentioned to you that your smudge brought up a lot of family and ancestral feelings and, you know, emotions that were connected to my grandmother and, and you know, my, really all my, my abuelos and abuelas. So, you know, it's a beautiful experience for me, when I get to do them. And that gift that what I'm doing is a direct result of me integrating. That's where I learned it. There is no teacher for me. I have no teacher. There's nobody making smudge fans around. You know, like, I don't have a teacher. I'd have to go back to the jungle, you know. But mine are in a different way. So,
So if anyone wants to connect with you and your work, is there a place they can find you, an email address or, you know, store somewhere?
You, well, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and you can just, you know, follow me there.
What's your handle?
It's just Peg Harrington.
Peg Harrington?
Yeah. Oh, Peg Harrington. Not just Peg Harrington. Just the name.
You haven't figured out I'm a giant smartass yet. Yeah.
Oh, well, awesome. Yeah, I couldn't recommend you more. I mean, you're amazing, and the work that you do with these smudge fans is beyond. It's just, they're so connected, and the energy that's within them is just so present. And anyone who's working in this kind of medicine space who can get the opportunity to work with one of your smudge fans is going to be truly blessed.
Thank you for saying that.
No, thank you.
That means everything to me. It really does.
She just said it so perfectly, but absolutely agree. It was easier.
Tito.
So, well, thank you, Peg, so much for being here, to sharing your story and doing your work and making this amazing feather smudges. And so on and so on. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being
thank you
here.
For sharing.
It's been
we
so fun
you.
Having you.
You guys,
and
thank-
yeah, I mean, just thank you for everything.
Thank you for having me today and asking me to do this and sharing this beautiful medicine with me. I really,
cacao's
this is beautiful
amazing.
Cacao.
Isn't it? Isn't it delicious?
Yeah. And well, your own personal medicines of who you are.
Thank you. And for any one of our listeners who has any questions about the Dark Night of the Soul, if you might be going through it or someone you know is might be going through it and needs assistance or help, please let us know. Reach out because, you know, we all can help one another through this path.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
And with that,
cacao you later.